Sergio, are you ready for Fantasy Week 16?
I'm ready, Adam. Are you?
Not yet, but I will be in about 30 minutes because you're going to get me and everybody else ready for Fantasy Week 16 February 7th through the 13th. Today is Thursday the 3rd. Yesterday was signing day. I'm not sure if there are college football fans out there, but you can finally get some rest. Signing day is over. It was a busy day. It was a fun day here at the office. And now we're here to talk about pro sports, pro basketball, and teams that have two games, three games, four games next week. Which guys should start, who you should sit, who you should pick up. And we've reached a point in the season where you have a pretty good feel for who your fantasy basketball team is, what your fantasy basketball team is, and just what you need to make it better. So Sergio's got five guys that you need to keep an eye on, guys that you can potentially buy low on, add to your team right now, and get better for the stretch run. But let's start out with the matchups and the teams that are playing good schedules, bad schedules. Atlanta, first of all, they're the only team playing two games. Boston, Chicago, Houston, Miami, New Jersey, New York, the Thunder, Blazers, Jazz, and Wizards all playing three games. Everybody else plays four. Let's start out with Atlanta, though. What scares you when you see Atlanta with two games?
Well, obviously, you're thinking about the team's big three there. You're thinking about Josh Smith. You're thinking about Al Horford. And you're thinking about Joe Johnson. And on top of the fact that they play two games, they also play against two tough defensive opponents, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Charlotte Bobcats, both allow under 100 points per game. So even if you're in an average-based league, this isn't going to be a very high-scoring week for those guys. However, if you look at those guys on an individual basis, Joe Johnson is absolutely scorching right now. You can still consider him a good play, even if depending on your options, even with the two games. I think he's averaging something insane like 36-5 over his last five games. So I think you can get plenty even in two games out of him. Horford is averaging 18-10 and 5 rebounds over his last five games, so you can definitely still get plenty out of him. And Josh Smith is going to continue to do what he does across the stat line. So depends on your options, but they're all three of these guys are still potentially good plays, even with the two-game slate.
So you said Horford was averaging 18-10 over his last five, but he's only playing two games. So there are other guys out there who are playing four games.
Sure.
And basically, that would be the equivalent of them averaging 9 points and 5 rebounds. And we wouldn't want to start that.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I'm talking about when I say weigh your options. Look at the matches that those players have. Do they have four games? What do they average? And basically, you almost want to play out the week. Kind of maybe take a little bit of a cautious approach. Say Horford is going to average 15-10 over the course of the upcoming week, just to be conservative. Can you get more than that out of your lesser player who plays four games? Just kind of play out the week and see, map out what you think they're going to do. And that's what I mean when I say weigh your options carefully.
Okay, so I think this is an easy one, but Al Horford for two or DeMarcus Cousins for four?
Oh, absolutely. DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Right now, I think even if it was even, it'd be close.
This guy is playing so well. Cousins has only started in 60% of leagues. He's got to be kind of a must-start right now, right?
Yeah, I think fantasy owners have been scared about the Kings and their rotation and how they've been up and down. But DeMarcus Cousins has been doing it steadily for about a month now. And I think, I don't know if you remember that that benching that he got for that choking gesture.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he made it against the Warriors. Ever since then, he came back and he's been steady. I think it's time to trust him in all formats.
Well, that means Eric Spoelstra should bench Eddie House for the cojones gesture.
Yeah, he
and
should.
Maybe Eddie House will pick it up.
All right.
Joe Johnson for two or Randy Foy for four?
This is something I think we're going to talk about later in the podcast. It depends on what happens with Eric Gordon, who suddenly looks like he might be back, and Baron Davis, who's banged up. Let's say both of those guys are out. I would – you know what? No, I'm still starting Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson – 35-5 or whatever he's averaging right now in two games, I think that's plenty.
Johnson for two or Manny Harris for four? Harris is a good-looking ball player right now.
He scored at least 19 points in three straight games.
I had the pleasure of watching the almost victory on Wednesday night, and boy, they choked it away at the end. But Harris looked good.
Yes, he does. And it's not his fault that they've lost, 22 straight games? The Cleveland
22,
Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Another situation to keep an eye on, similar to what's going on with the Clippers and Randy Foy, they might get Mo Williams and Daniel Gibson back this week, but there are some talks that he might remain in the starting lineup. Anyway, if he does, I think I'd go with Manny Harris. If he doesn't, then I'd still
Joe Johnson. How about this? We'll move away from the Hawks. Kyle Lowry for three games or Tracy McGrady for four games?
Lowry for three or McGrady for four? I'll take the extra game with McGrady right now. Right now he's I mean, it's been over a month now since he's been a prominent part of that rotation, and I think it's time to start trusting him.
Another one I think is kind of an easy one. Felton for three or Conley for four?
Oh, Conley for four, I think.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy. Yeah, I can't grill you the whole time. I got to give you some cupcakes, you some softballs.
Give me some layups.
Yeah, you know, I said cupcakes and softballs. I could have gone with layups.
There
this is
go.
A basketball podcast.
But you do
after
so many
all.
Podcasts.
Looking at teams who have favorable matchups and teams who have poor matchups, starting with the good ones, Golden State, Dallas, the Clippers, the Suns, and San Antonio have favorable matchups. Who are some fringe guys on these teams that you like?
You know what? In Dallas, I like Sean Marion. I think he's quietly putting up decent numbers in rebounding and across the board, where his scoring numbers haven't been great, but he's still doing it enough. And with the matchups that he's facing, Cleveland, Sacramento, Denver, Houston, all four teams allow over 100 points per game. So we could start to see an increase, at least in the short term, in the scoring department as well. So I like Sean Marion as a sleeper this week. Foy is a guy we talked about, depending on what happens with Davis and Eric Gordon. If either one of those two guys is out, I'd like him as a real sleeper this week with matchups against the Knicks, the Cavaliers, and the Toronto Raptors. All three of those games should be high scoring. In Phoenix, you're thinking about potentially in deeper leagues, a guy like Jared Dudley, who when he gets a chance to play against these high-volume opponents like the Warriors, who he gets to play twice, and the Kings, he can put up some good numbers from the perimeter as a three-point shooter. Also, Marcin Gortat, who has been consistent despite the fact that he's been coming off the bench, giving you around 10 points and 10 rebounds per game. He could even put up some decent scoring numbers this week because of the matchups.
Gortat is actually our second most added player in CBSSports.com leagues. Looking at some poor matchups here, obviously Atlanta with the two games, Boston at Charlotte, the Lakers and the Heat, so they have good defensive teams on the schedule, Chicago, Miami, and Washington, and also Charlotte. So who are some fringe guys to sit on these teams?
Depending on the size of your league, you might want to consider reserving Ray Allen. They're playing the Charlotte Bobcats, the Lakers, and the Miami Heat. There should be three low-scoring games. Allen has been he's been decent for fantasy owners recently, but he does have a couple of clunkers in there over the last week and a half. So if you have good alternatives, you might consider reserving Ray Allen. In most standard leagues, you still can start him if you need to. But it's a week that if you're ever going to reserve him, this might be the week to do it.
Anyone else?
The Miami Heat, you're going to start the big three. Washington, you're thinking about Rashard Lewis maybe as a player who's come on strong since he's joined the Washington Wizards. This isn't the best week to start him. He's going to be playing against the Bucks, the San Antonio Spurs, two teams that are very tough defensively. So if you have Rashard Lewis and you've been getting a lot out of him over the last month, maybe you give him a breather this week.
So going over some of the storylines from around the league, we've now seen the Pacers a little bit further into the new regime now that Jim O'Brien's gone. And what are your thoughts so far? We're going to talk about Roy Hibbert a little bit later, but other than him, what's catching your eye?
Well, my thoughts so far are consistency. That's something that was very, very hard to come by with Jim O'Brien. Part of the reason that Larry Bird decided to make the move was that he didn't like the way he was using the players that he had. Larry Bird's thinking, listen, these are the players that you're going to play with, so yeah, you better figure out the best way to deal with what you have. We're not making any big signings. We're not making any big trades. These are our guys. Use them better. So that's what he expects to see from Frank Vogel the rest of the way. And I anticipate seeing consistency out of players like Darren Collison, who have underperformed this year, coming off that big year that he had last year with the New Orleans Hornets. I also think Roy Hibbert, obviously a player who is going to get a chance to come out of those doldrums that he's had the last 2 months, really. I think also, Tyler Hansbrough is a sleeper. He's a player who Larry Bird likes a lot and is quietly one of the players that supposedly put him over the top in terms of firing Jim O'Brien because Tyler Hansbrough wasn't getting enough playing time. I think he's a player to keep an eye on. So far, the playing time hasn't been great, but the production has been great, and I think he's going to earn playing time slowly over the course of the second half. So he's a player I think you should buy low on where you can.
What do you make of all the Ron Artest trade talk? The story comes out on Wednesday that he wants to be traded. Then he says, no, I don't want to be traded. I'm hoping that – I don't think he's going to get traded, but I'm hoping that this sparks him a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And I think – yesterday, as soon as I heard the initial report, I think the report was from that
– I think it was from Mark Stein.
Yeah, the big Mickey Mouse Network. As soon as I heard it, I thought that was complete and utter nonsense because he's carrying a very unattractive contract. I believe he has 3 years left on it, and it's obviously very bloated for the type of production that he's been giving the Lakers. Who out there is really thinking about trading for a Ron Artest considering the baggage that he brings with him, the fact that he's getting up there in age, his numbers are down, and he's got that unattractive contract.
Yeah, and we've got a new collective bargaining
And we've
agreement.
Got the CBA
yes.
coming up in the offseason. It just didn't – sometimes I think reporters overreact to the fact that a player might say he's frustrated or they've been losing a couple games and this and that. But I think the report was out there for literally half an hour before the agent came out and said, no, my player doesn't want to get traded. Ron Artest was interviewed shortly after that. He said, no, I'm happy to be a Laker, and I'm trying to bring another banner to the Staples Center.
And would you like to buy my uniform for $300?
Yeah, or my rap album. So
yeah, true.
I think Ron Artest is Ron Artest. We know what he is. He's going to shoot off at the mouth from time to time. And he's one of those people that doesn't have a filter. Whatever he thinks will come right out without the thoughts of long-term effects or repercussions. He might be frustrated. The Lakers are having a little bit of a disappointing year by their standards, but he's not going anywhere. So I immediately thought that was pure nonsense when I saw the report.
So we don't make too much.
Your question, though, was will this fire him up? I think it might. I think Ron Artest is one of those people that when he makes a big stink or does something negative, he likes to kind of do his talking on the court. To where he's taken it upon himself to – the reason his numbers are down is because he wants to be one of the best defensive players in the league. He wanted to prove a point, and he's become – his numbers aren't great, but he is one of the best defensive players in the league. Now if he wants to kind of make a point to – so that he's happy being a Laker, he might go out there and drop a couple of 15 to 20-point games with well-rounded stat numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some kind of noise out of Ron Artest as a result of all this mess.
Would you start either – Or neither of these two, Deshaun Stevenson or Peja Stojakovic next week?
Not yet. We do like Dallas's matchups. I didn't talk about those two guys as possible fringe guys because Peja is going to be worked in slowly. He wasn't playing at all for the Toronto Raptors, and they are going to bring him along slowly in terms of minutes and responsibilities and shot attempts and all that stuff. Until you see him produce on the floor, don't activate him. I do think he's a player to add potentially as a sleeper, especially in category leagues where he can help you in three-point shooting, but I'm not starting him yet. Deshaun Stevenson may be in a deep, deep league, but right now I don't think he's consistent enough.
We talked about Manny Harris, 19 points on Wednesday night, 20 points in each of the previous two games. He's only in 22% of leagues. Another guy that's getting some minutes lately and making it count is Christian Ayanga, and look, he doesn't jump out at you, but one thing you have to look at with him is blocks, because yep. He has two blocks in each of his last four games. And on Wednesday night, this was his stat line. 12 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers. You can get a lot of value out of a guy like that in a deeper league. I don't know what his status is going to be when guys start to get healthy, though.
Yeah, the problem is with him, and you're absolutely right, especially if you're in a category league, he's been a great find in the short term. Unfortunately, with Gibson, Gibson is going to be back for week 16. Mo Williams is a little bit more of a question mark, but he could also be back. Manny Harris has a spot when those two guys get back. Byron Scott is talking about possibly starting him at small forward once those two guys are back, just to kind of keep him in the mix thanks to the production that he's been offering. Ayanga, I'm not so sure. I think he's carved out enough of a niche that he can still get some decent playing time off the bench, but he's going to be one of those players that is going to play inconsistent minutes. He'll be on one night and not the next. I think his value is only in the short term because these guys are coming back.
I just felt so badly for them last night. They had that game, and what's funny about Cleveland is that they have so many season ticket sales. They pack that place,
yeah. At
least the lower bowl. I didn't really see the upper bowl, but they get good attendance, and the fans are going crazy. We're finally going to win. And then, who was it? Somebody took just a horrible, horrible shot down the stretch. Doesn't really matter who it was, but they ruined the game for the Cavs, and another loss, and they're now one away from tying the record, two away from setting the all-time record. But Kevin Durant, I want to talk about something good for a change. 43 points, 10 rebounds on Wednesday. My question for you, Mr. Gonzalez, if you could do the draft over again, if you could draft now and get these guys for the rest of the season, would Kevin Durant still be the number one pick? And who would be number two?
That is a very interesting question. We were very high on Kevin Durant coming into the season as the clear-cut number one option in all leagues. We thought it was time to remove LeBron James from that perch because of the fact he was going to the Miami Heat. And we weren't – part of it was we weren't sure exactly how much of a hit he was going to take, but we were sure he was going to take a hit. And part of it was because Durant earned it. I mean, last season, the numbers that he put up were ridiculous, and he was getting close to LeBron as it was. And with Durant seemingly a player on the rise statistically and LeBron possibly a player on the decline, it made it a pretty easy choice to select Kevin Durant as our choice for the number one overall pick in fantasy. Right now, I think I'm going to backtrack on that, and I'm going to say that I would select LeBron James number one overall with wow. Durant still being the second, because what I think all of us failed, all of us in the biz or whatever it is that we do, failed to anticipate was how little of a supporting how little help he was going to get from his supporting cast in Miami. I think he got more help from the Cleveland Cavaliers over the last couple years in terms of other players who could step up and take a shot from time to time than he's getting this year in Miami. If you look at the box scores in Miami this year, it's been ridiculous to see. On most nights, it's the big three scoring in double figures and nobody else.
Yeah.
Nobody else. I'm talking yeah. Chalmers from time to time, Mike Miller since he's been there here and there. But it's usually the big three taking 20 to 25 shots and nobody else taking more than like five or six.
Well, so, also Haslam went out.
Yeah, Haslam.
And that Mike Miller went out.
Yes, that has played a part. So the shot volume decrease that we anticipated hasn't really been there for LeBron. And while he got off to a slow start, there were some gelling issues in the first couple of weeks of the season. Right now, the numbers that he's been putting up have been equal to what he did in Cleveland the past few years, and in some instances even better with the rise in assists and even in rebounding, because like you said, Udonis Haslam hasn't been there. His numbers across the board are up, actually. So where we were anticipating a hit, he's actually gotten better. So I take LeBron number one, Durant number two. What do you think? What would you do? I'm putting you on the spot.
No, I think I'd take Durant number one because okay. I do think the Heat are going to get healthier and they're going to get a little bit more cohesive.
That's a strong possibility.
You know, if you look at the guys on the Cavs, it's not like they were that good, but they had been playing together for a long time. They
right.
did a pretty good job of keeping their core intact. And I think they just have better chemistry than the Heat do right now. I expect that to improve, and I don't know. It's hard to say I expect other guys to play better because they're terrible.
They are.
I mean...
They are.
As much
really
as
are.
I love James Jones, because he's from the U,
uh-huh.
he's not that good of a player.
No, he's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mario Chalmers is horrible, and their center situation is pretty awful.
Yes.
And I knew that going in. We knew that going in. They were going to have arguably the worst starting point guard and the worst starting center in basketball, at least top five or bottom five
bottom
in that
five.
Category.
Right.
I mean, those guys are dreadful. So can they start playing better? I thought maybe LeBron, Wade, Bosh would elevate the rest of the play for some of the rest of the guys.
It
hasn't
not
really
happened. Has not
but
happened.
I do think Mike Miller will make a difference.
Yes.
And I don't know, when is Haslam coming back? Maybe with
well,
like a month left in the year or maybe not at all?
If it was any other player, he would have been ruled out for the season right now. The reason the Heat haven't ruled him out is because they think of him as a freak physically that could possibly get back sooner than anybody else could in this. I would not anticipate him coming back at all this season.
I would still take Durant. Over LeBron. Mm-hmm. I think Durant has had some really off shooting nights. I think I'm hoping his field goal percentage will get even higher.
Yes.
Meh.
Well, if we're let's take it by the categories. Scoring wise, I think Durant, and I think you'll agree with me, will outscore average per game basis LeBron the remainder of the season. Who's going to have more assists per game? LeBron. Who's going to have more rebounds per game? LeBron.
Is it a lot more?
LeBron right now is averaging over seven rebounds per game, and a lot of games he hits 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
So Durant is going to give you around five, maybe,
okay.
maybe when he's doing well, and maybe five as well in assists. So we're talking, what do you think his scoring average will be at the end of the year, Durant?
What's it around, 27, 28
yes.
now,
so
27?
You think he hits 29, 30?
Not, I don't know. No, I don't think so. That's a big
he'll
jump.
Stay around 27.
Jump.
He'll stay around 27. We'll 27, say 27, 28. 28. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Assists, we'll say 5. So it's 27, 5. Rebounds, we'll also say 5. So we'll say 27, 5, and 5. LeBron, who right now is averaging around 25 points per game, but that's really been because of the slow start. He's close. We'll call it 25 for LeBron the rest of the way. He can get you 8 assists per game, and he can get you 7 rebounds per game, maybe
right.
7 or 8. So we're talking close in scoring, but LeBron has the edge in the other two categories, plus what he does across the board in field.
He'll have more blocks.
He'll also have more.
But his blocks have gone down.
Yes.
He should have more steals. He will have more turnovers, mm-hmm. most likely, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other big edge that Durant has is the free throw percentage.
Correct.
And he gets to the line so much.
Right.
They both do, but Durant shoots.
And I think Durant's still a better – he's a better three-point shooter as well.
Okay, you probably sold me. LeBron.
It really is close. It's a very, very, very good argument.
What do you think about Jason Smith of New Orleans with Okafor out? Smith should get more chances now. He scored 20 on Tuesday, which was very encouraging, but just 6 on Wednesday. He is owned in 12% of leagues.
I think this is what we're going to see. We're going to see some inconsistency out of him. Emeka Okafor is going to be out anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks with this injury. He is another one of those players like Udonis Haslem who is very, very strong at getting through injuries. So I wouldn't be completely shocked if he got back on the closer to the 1 week as opposed to the 3 weeks. But Jason Smith is worth picking up in daily formats and in weekly leagues in the hopes that you might be able to get a cheap number two center because he does have that potential to score 15 to 20 points on any given night.
We need to look at the injury report. Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, Baron Davis, the three we're going to focus on here. Paul got hurt in Wednesday night's game, but he was able to come back. Eric Gordon's been out for a little while, but got a good diagnosis. He should be back much sooner than expected. And then there's Baron Davis, who's just been injury prone for a while now. So of these three, which one's serious? Who might not be available in week 16?
Well, I think Chris Paul, the fact that he suffered a pretty bad ankle tweak in Wednesday night's game, had to be carried off the court. He did play, but you definitely want to continue to monitor those injuries, even when they come back and play, because the next day you never know what that ankle looks like. It might be three times its normal size. So Chris Paul is a player you're going to want to monitor over the course of the weekend, but the fact that he did return makes it seem to me that he should play in Week 16. Eric Gordon was a player that was expected to be out about a month. The Clippers came back on Tuesday and said he's made significant improvements and he's now day-to-day and traveling with the team. They still haven't put a concrete return date, but he could be back over the weekend. He could be back halfway through Week 16. You're going to want to monitor that closely. If he's back, you want to get him back into the lineup because of the matchups that we talked about with the Clippers. So keep a close eye on that. The other player you mentioned was Baron Davis.
Baron Davis.
I believe it was an ankle as well. Baron Davis is he'd been playing well. He'd even seen a little bit of an increase in shot volume with Eric Gordon out. But Davis, Adam just referred to the history of injuries that he's had. He's getting up there in age. He's definitely a player that could turn even the most minor ankle tweak into a week-long injury. So you want to keep a close eye on fantasynews.cbssports.com over the weekend and through Monday's lineup deadlines for updates on all these guys.
So I told Sergio that going into today's show, we were going to assess – well, not really assess. We were going to look at players as you assess your fantasy team. Sergio was going to give you some players that you should consider adding to your roster to help you out for the stretch run and get your team even better than it is now. Hopefully it's pretty good. So you gave me 5 players to watch, and the first one is Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert. We alluded to the coaching change in Indiana. We think that we're all expecting that to be the thing that jars him out of that slump that he's been dealing with for the last 2 months. He's a player that can average around 15 points, 10 rebounds per game on a consistent basis. We saw from him over the course of the first month of the season before his playing time started getting all out of whack and he started dealing with issues from his mental health to his weight to just about every kind of thing away from the basketball court. I think now if it's just going to get back to basketball and him getting consistent playing time on a regular basis from the new head coach there, I think he's a player that you should buy low on. If a lot of people have a sour taste in their mouth because of how much he's burned them so far this year, you might be able to get a pretty good deal out of him, but you want to do that quick because we're already starting to see signs of an improvement under Coach Vogel there. So he's definitely a buy low candidate.
Second player on this list is Baron Davis.
Baron Davis, we just talked about the ankle problem that he's dealing with, and there's always a possibility of injuries with him. But over the course of the last month, we finally have seen a turnaround in him after a slow start this season. He came into the year kind of out of conditioning shape, and Coach Vinny Del Negro and him weren't on the same page initially. But over the course of the last month, we've seen him get back to around 17 points and 7 or 8 rebounds, assists per game. He can, when he is healthy and playing well, still be a number 1 or 2 caliber guard. Take advantage of the fact that fantasy owners have given up on him because of the fact he's only averaging 11 points and 4 or 5 assists per game this year. And consider the fact that he can, in the second half, if he's healthy, give you 17 points and 6 or 7 assists per game, and buy low on him as well.
Jeff Green. Next on this list.
Jeff Green, another player who got off to a good start, has been dealing with a lot of injuries that have really slowed him down over the course of the last month or two. But we've started to see signs over the last week that he's getting back to heavy playing time and is one of those promising young forwards that can give you solid scoring and also rebounding. And the fact that the Thunder are going to try to build him as the third leg of that tripod that they're building in with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, I expect him to be featured heavily in the second half, especially if they have any plans of playoff aspirations in Oklahoma City. Buy low on the fact that he has underproduced his ability, because I think in the second half we're going to see Jeff Green play at the level that he's capable of.
We have Hibbert, Baron Davis, Jeff Green. Now two guys who Sergio's saying, oh, just trade these guys to their NBA teams. Just trade these guys already so we can reap the benefits. Troy Murphy, Richard Hamilton.
Troy Murphy and Rip Hamilton, these are two guys that are out there waiting to become fantasy heroes potentially in the second half, but they're going to need to be traded. The trade deadline is February 24th. We're going to need to see those two players in different uniforms for them to do what they're capable of. But potentially, Troy Murphy is a guy who can give you 14 points and 10 rebounds per game, good numbers in blocks, field goal percentage. He just isn't getting playing time in New Jersey. If he gets traded, like he seems to be featured in every trade rumor that the Nets are involved in, he could go and become a player that's getting DNP CDs to playing 30 to 35 minutes per night and putting up the numbers that he's capable of. So if you can buy low on him and basically trade a guy who you might have picked up off the waiver wire for a guy who in the second half could be a regular number two fantasy forward, go ahead and do that. Rip Hamilton, he's pretty much worn out his welcome in Detroit, but we all know that he's a very capable scorer, can get you a solid, consistent scoring in the mid-teens of 20 points per game under the right conditions. Buy low on these guys just in case. Don't trade away anything that useful, but you'd be surprised. You might be able to get these guys for guys that you picked up off the waiver wire.
Sure. So, you ready for the roster trends?
Let's do it.
All right, Sergio. Let's go. Most added and most dropped. Randy Foy is number one. We've talked about him. Number three is Carlos Delfino, up 17%.
Delfino is a player that a lot of people forgot about because of that concussion that helped that kept him out for close to 2 months. He had a very scary reaction to a head injury that kept him out for a very long time. But now he's back. Took him about 3 games to shake off the rust. But what we've seen over the course of the last week is him put up well-distributed box score numbers. He's a good scorer, a good rebounder, and a good assist man. So even on nights where he isn't on in one of those areas, he's going to give you production in the other areas. I like him as a three-point shooter as well. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to give him plenty of playing time. I think he's a player to pick up.
Kendrick Perkins is number six on this list, up 15%.
Kendrick Perkins coming off that very bad ACL injury that he suffered in the NBA Finals last year. Just getting back into the mix. It's going to take him probably another couple of weeks to get to a point where the Celtics can give him heavy playing time. But we already have seen him, even with only around 20 to 25 minutes per game, put up some good numbers in rebounding, potentially a 10-10 center, and those are hard to find off the waiver wire. So if you're patient and have the roster space available, pick up Kendrick Perkins.
And now as we looked at two of the most dropped players, Serge Ibaka is down 6%. He's our seventh most dropped player, Sergio.
Yeah, if I'm touting Jeff Green as a player who could have a strong second half, that's going to come at the expense of Serge Ibaka. Whenever Serge Ibaka has been down, as we've started to see over the course of the last week, it's because Jeff Green is playing well. And I just talked about believing that Jeff Green is going to have a huge second half. So if that's the case, I think Serge Ibaka is going to have a poor second half.
And then as we move a little bit further down the list, Taj Gibson is down 4% from last week.
He's another guy who was affected by a concussion in late December, has missed out on an opportunity for big numbers with Joakim Noah out. Joakim Noah is still a couple weeks away, and we finally saw after Taj Gibson had a horrible month of January, his first game in February was very solid. He had around 10 points and 10 rebounds with a couple of blocks, a couple of assists, and a steal the other night. And I think he's highly capable of putting that up on a consistent basis if he is now finally getting over the lingering effects of that concussion that seemed to affect him in January.
Time for some tweets and an email. Send us an email, dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. D is in Darko, M is in Milicic, fantasyhoops@cbs.com. Send Sergio a tweet, @CBS Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z. And follow us on Twitter @CBS Fantasy News, but you know all that by now. So the first tweet comes from John Wally via Twitter. Good Twitter name there. Can you rank some of the inconsistent bigs like, I'm guessing that's Sammy Dallenberg?
Yeah, it's got to be Sammy Dallenberg.
DeAndre Jordan, Ibaka, Serge Ibaka, and JaVale McGee. That's the thing with Twitter. You have not that many characters, so he just gave us...
People have to get creative.
Why couldn't you put Dallenberg? Sammy, DeAndre, Ibaka, McGee. So rank some of these inconsistent bigs.
All right, so just talked about Ibaka. I'm going to put him at the end of this list because I'm not very high on him for the second half. I'm going to put Sammy Dallenberg at the end of this list because he is... First, even if he was getting consistent playing time, he wouldn't get you much more than rebounds. And he's not getting consistent playing time, so he offers you very, very little, if nothing at all. So he's at the end of this list. Then I'm going to put Ibaka slightly ahead of him because he has more upside as a scorer. I just don't see the role being there for him. Then we're talking DeAndre Jordan and JaVale McGee. DeAndre Jordan right now is the better option, but Chris Kaman looms there as a player who could potentially affect him in the second half. I'm going to go with McGee, who has been inconsistent, as he mentions, but his role is going to be there and perhaps could get a lot better over the course of the final couple months of the season. So we're going to go McGee first, DeAndre Jordan, then Ibaka, then Sammy Dallenberg.
Next tweet comes from Chris, who says, Chris Kaman is sitting on waivers. Is it worth dropping someone on my roster to pick him up?
Oh, absolutely. Chris Kaman is potentially... Well, if he was healthy and still had the role that he had prior to getting hurt, he can give you 20 points and 10 rebounds consistently with a couple blocks per game. The only thing that you have to keep in mind there is DeAndre Jordan has stepped up. He could have to wrestle away playing time from him. And we got this guy, Blake Griffin, who has pretty much taken over as the low post primary front man for the Clippers. Even if he's not going to be 20 and 10, Chris Kaman with decent playing time could be 13 or 15 points with 10 rebounds per game. The rebounds are going to be there for him regardless. And a center off the waiver wire who can get you 13 to 15 points and 10 rebounds per game, you're not going to find a lot of those. So definitely want to pick him up.
And then our email at dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. It comes from Ryan Brown. He says, you guys have helped me get to a top three spot in my Roto League. Quick question. Do you anticipate a drop in numbers for Kevin Love in the second half? Should I sell high while I can?
I do anticipate a drop in numbers. I don't think it's going to be that dramatic. We knew he wasn't going to be able to maintain that that high rebounding upside that he was showing in the first half of the season when he was pretty much dropping 20 rebounds per game almost on a nightly basis. But I do think he can still average probably in the neighborhood of 13 to 14 rebounds per game and can give you that high-end scoring because the Minnesota Timberwolves are the highest scoring team in the league. They're the highest volume offense in the league right now. So I anticipate probably around 20 points, 13 to 14 rebounds per game. I think that's plenty enough to want to hang on to him. What do you think of Kevin Love for the
I don't think he drops off enough for me to say I have to sell high on him, but I do think he's a good sell-high candidate. I think he's a decent sell-high candidate.
Sure.
Let me ask you this. So let's go back to your list of guys you could buy low on. Would you sell Kevin Love for Roy Hibbert and Baron Davis?
Together, package
deal? Yeah. I don't think that's enough.
No, that's not enough.
I mean, it might work out in your favor, but
two
you can do better
than guys that.
Right.
No.
Would you sell Kevin Love for Roy Hibbert and, oh man, think of a guard out.
Well, oh, a guard?
Yeah, think of anyone. Okay. That's good. Kind of run of the mill, not great.
Darren Collison?
Sure.
No.
Love for Hibbert and Collison? No.
Nope.
All right, then I wouldn't sell high on
there it is.
On Kevin Love.
There's your answer, Ryan.
Don't do it. Keep him. He's great. He's so consistent, and he's so good, and you know what you're going to get.
And that system. That system is is a fantasy owner's dream.
And from a podcast host's dream, sitting here twice a week with Sergio Gonzalez, I got to tell you.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Okay. Everybody, sorry we got sappy there. We'll be back on Monday with another podcast, and we'll probably spend about 30 minutes talking about the Super Bowl and about 5 minutes talking fantasy basketball.
Who you got in the Super Bowl?
That's a joke, by the way. But I got the Packers.
All right, let's remember this on Monday. You got the Packers.
I think, what's the spread? 3.5 or 2.5?
2.5.
2.5? I'd take the Packers minus 2.5.
Minus 2.5.
Yeah, I like Roethlisberger and I like the experience factor, but I don't know how Pouncey's going to play, and I think that's going to really hurt the interior of that offensive line. The offensive line is just not good enough for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I just think the Steelers don't lose Super Bowls unless Chris O'Donnell's their quarterback. Not Chris O'Donnell.
Neil
O'Donnell is their quarterback.
Chris O'Donnell would have done almost as well as Neil O'Donnell
in
Super Bowl.
Unless O'Donnell's their quarterback, they don't lose Super Bowls. The Steelers win championships. That's what they do.
Yeah, they do. But last year, you know, if you had said, well, the Colts have all this experience and they have a guy who's already won a Super Bowl MVP and the Saints haven't been there before, you could have psyched yourself out into thinking that the Colts were going to win. But the Saints were a better team, and I think the Packers are just better.
We shall see. We'll remember this on Monday.
Okay. So I like
the Steelers,
Packers.
You got the Packers.
I like the Packers by 3.
So you like the – not only do you like the Packers.
I like
you like the Packers to cover.
Yes. Oh, yeah, whatever. Yes, I like them to cover. I like them by 3.
All right.
For Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Adam Azer, not encouraging you to gamble.
Not at all.
Have a great weekend.